on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live at the Pulse 2 studio. All the boys are in the house. Say hey, boys.
Yo.
Yep.
Hi.
Massive show on this evening. Loads to talk about and discuss and to check out about the world of rugby league. We'll be hearing from our amateur all-star this evening, and that is Dudley Hill, so local team here in Bradford. We'll get a 30-second blast from all the boys in the second segment of the show. The third segment gets given over to you, the fans, so we discuss all the questions that you're firing at us. If you're on social media, just fire us some questions if you want it, and it's in the mood, just fire it over at us also. And in the final segment, we're going to mop up and look at the upcoming games this weekend. It's actually a really good weekend this weekend with some really, really close games. So loads to choose from. But before we do, let's catch up with the boys. Bradford Bulls had a big win this weekend. Big, big win against one of the top teams, Lee Centurions. Tell us all about it. Roscoe Pico train. He was the... You were calling your game calling
that
weekend?
Nah, Damien took over again.
Oh, you got brushed again.
Well, we were all set. Got there to Damien, come and said, nah, I want to do this game. So I had to put my hand up. I said, all right, then, you know, went, did my bit, walked around, took pictures with all the amateur kids that were there, and, you know, just did
you
my
should have
bit.
Said, when Damien's come in and said, I'm doing this game, you should have gone, all right, mate. See you later.
Nah, I couldn't do that. He wouldn't even probably say that what he did, but yeah. I couldn't call a game as good as Mick, but, you know, massive 2 points for the boys. I think everyone's realising now. I think after that first blip we had, everyone thought, oh no, Bradford aren't going to do nothing. Now, you know, we come very close against Widnes. We've beat Lee. People are starting to think, oh, actually, Bradford are a decent team. So, yeah, we're an enjoyable watch.
Actually.
Well, yeah,
decent team.
No, yeah, we are. But, you know, people started to write us off a bit after. You know how people get after you have, like, two losses and start to think, it's doom and gloom. But, yeah, boys showed up. And, yeah, I think we've hit a good vein of form. Really. I'm buzzing to get back.
I look at it. I put it down to your hefty pre-season schedule. I kind of liken it to the World Club Challenge. So your focus becomes about that bit of silverware at the beginning of the season. You invest a load of energy into it. How can you screw your face up? Take it from someone who played in three of these things, son.
The Orange Cup pre-season tournaments.
I tell you what. They wanted to win that.
And it's there.
Chambers and that, they wanted to win that.
And it's the amount of games that you play. That's got to be taken into account. And you sharpen the sword psychologically and physically. No worries, son. I'll take care of you. and that focus, because so much energy and so many games were played beforehand, can sometime then, the games that come after can be a bit of a lull.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reaction that we've seen. But then it takes a little bit of time to get the millstone grinding again. And what we've seen over the past few weeks, you know, like the game against Widnes as well, where you weren't here last week, Elliot, but we come to the conclusion that you were robbed. Rusted.
Well, I think as well, with Minnie back in his natural position and Rowan Mills a natural halfback, I think we looked a lot better as well. So now we've got an actual halfback, and Matty Wilde was still a kind of halfback. We're looking good again.
Kind of halfback.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
What was it like on the field?
It felt good. We had some numbers back, and you know, last few weeks we've been getting a few back, and we're slowly but surely getting there. It's funny, isn't it? Rugby league, like a couple of weeks ago, I was reading online, like people saying, "Oh, we're going to be scrapping for relegation."
That's why I didn't come into the show last week.
And I was actually helping out my local amateur team last week, West Bowling, where they're going to beat Dudley Hill on Saturday. There you go. So I have that
gauntlet thrown down.
Have that Dudley Hill. But no, it's a funny week. It's a funny old game, isn't it? A couple of weeks ago, people were writing us off, and like Ross said, we almost beat Widnes away, and then we've just gone and beat Lee by, you know, we nailed him in second half 14-0. So it's looking better for us. We're still not where we need to be. We've still got a lot of bodies to come back as well.
And that's a good thing.
Which is obviously positive. And we've got a nice run of fixtures in front of us. So everything's looking a bit better than it was a few weeks ago. It's weird how a couple of wins and some good performances
momentum,
really turn
energy.
It around. Yeah, it's just been a completely different vibe around the place.
Yeah, all the feedback was that everyone was enjoying themselves on the on the weekend.
Yeah,
it looked like it, to be fair, from where I was sat, you know. It was a good game. And, yeah, that second half, I was very impressed with boys coming under pressure and, you know, they held Lee out and, yeah, put 14 on them. So.
And, Pouts, you're 2 weeks off.
Yeah, 2 weeks off and I'm back.
Am I allowed to say that? No, it's all right.
It would imperfect day, but...
Yeah, new signing.
As long as we overcome Keithley, which I'm sure we will, you know, then our next round at Challenge Cup, whoever it may be.
Whoever we draw next.
Yeah, I'm not even... Nice. No, we're not even going to go
Keithley.
We're not ever going to go BD20 to win lose, so, you know, it's one of them. So, yeah, next round Challenge Cup, you'll see me back out there.
So that's it. What's that? Fifth round of the Challenge Cup.
Whatever round that is.
Round five.
Yeah.
And so that's where your earmark and your big
return.
That's where it's.
I'm looking to pull it back out. Yeah. It'll have been like 4 months since my surgery. So yeah, it'd be sweet.
All right.
Good thing he can't play this week.
Yeah, no.
I would have loved it.
So Ross isn't that far off. Elliot's got back into the zone. He's got a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
One of the stories that you covered this weekend was a brand new American franchise has now been tossed up. We've got Toronto. When you say America, the Americas. Toronto, we've heard of New York over the past couple of weeks or so, and obviously when they first made their impression that they were interested in bringing a franchise to the Super League, to Rugby League full stop. Now, Ottawa. You spoke to Perez himself.
Yeah.
Can you give us a down low on what Ottawa means?
It's a city in Canada.
How it unfolded.
Though they bought Hemel's license, Hemel was supposed to be coming back into League One next year, but Perez has construed a deal. Construed's probably the wrong word, sounds dodgy, but he's just gone out and bought the license and he's trying to relocate them to Canada next year. I mean, let's be honest, said it on another podcast today, Hemel returning next year probably wasn't getting anyone excited.
No.
So I think even if this...
I'll be honest, won't get me excited.
Even if this does fail, which I don't think it will because Toronto's proven there is an appetite for it, if it's a toss-up between stepping into the unknown with this or going back to 100 people watching Hemel every other week next year, the game's probably going to benefit from trying to go into new horizons. And Hemel playing the Southern Conference now, and they can go back to playing their own players because they had this stupid arrangement with Dewsbury, didn't they, where the players travelled from, trained at Dewsbury and then travelled down and played on a weekend. So there were no Hemel-based players playing. But it's exciting for the sport. You know, I think the more opportunities there are for rugby league to get into new territories and new horizons, I think it can only be a good thing. As for Ottawa, it's capital of Canada, so it's a big city. I think over 1.5 million people live there.
1.5 million.
So, you know, straight away you've got to say...
So give a context, it's sort of like Leeds and Bradford joined
together.
Bigger
than everywhere that plays rugby league in here, apart from London. So you've got to say straight away, it's a good idea. We'll see what the bid consists of, and that's what they're going to present to the clubs. But at this stage, I would be surprised if they both don't get in next year.
And as I understand it, they've teamed up with, what was the name of their organisation?
Ottawa Entertainment Sports Group. They own a football team that play in the tier below the MLS. They own a baseball team. So all the infrastructure's there. It's not like Toronto where they're having to set everything up from scratch. They can just go straight into the stadium, straight into these training facilities, and hopefully focus on, you know, some junior development, some community stuff. Just, you know, the baseline argument is 3 years ago when Perez said, "I'm going to set a team up in Toronto," everyone laughed and said, "That's not happening. There's no way he'll be able to do that." But he's proven people wrong, hasn't he? Because Toronto, you know, however it comes about, they get big crowds. They get big players signing there. It's captured the attention in Canada and in Toronto, a massive city like Toronto. So I think the possibilities are endless.
They've always said that the Americans would have an appetite for the game of rugby league.
Yeah.
Purely and simply because the combatant sort of style of the game.
Perez always said it was like the best parts of every North American sport sort of mixed together in one.
Yeah.
Like the technicality of NFL, like the physicality of hockey and stuff like that. His argument was Canadians, Americans will watch this and be bowled over by how incredible it is.
And whenever you see a group of Americans, North Americans, watching the sport of rugby league, they'll go, "Wow, that's amazing." And research has shown that of the two codes, rugby union and rugby league is always the preferred code
that they
enjoy watching. I think they find it a little bit easier to understand because they liken a down to a tackle.
Yeah.
And the game's obviously played in the halves, and there's an end zone and try line, and let's just not change the terminology. What do you guys think about this? It's this Americanization, the Transatlantic Super League.
Yeah, I've seen the appetite, you know. I've had the taste going over and playing over there, and like you said, they love it. Whenever we go over there and play, everyone's always like, always amazed and blown over by how physical it is and how amazing it is. And you know, like Toronto, and like Aaron said, no one's really excited by Hemel Stags, and nothing against them, but going and playing there, it's not really the best ground, and they've got a scaffolding stand, whereas you could go over to Canada and, you know, play in front of loads of people. You know,
how cool is that?
Yeah, just hope I can sort my visa troubles out so I can play over there.
I'm all for it. I think I'm all for expanding the game and taking it to new areas of the world. I just can't see how it's a negative. I don't see anybody who says this is a bad idea. I just disagree with you completely. I think this is fantastic for the game, and yeah, to have two Canadian teams in the rugby league structure, I think it's great. Yeah? There's two French teams, two Canadian teams, London.
It's good, no illusion. Big name brands, big city name brands bring interest.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Beyond a no illusion.
Mm. Yeah, money, sponsorship,
and
people
go watch.
And you guys
got to be happy. Bradford is a big city. It's a big city brand name in the north of England.
I think over in America, as soon as we can crack over there, then the game's just going to blow up. And I think that's the final piece. If you have a strong America, strong England, strong Australia, then, you know, World Cup Challenge will definitely get interesting because it'll be around the world then. But
Americans are mad at it. They love the sport. And I think if all it takes is for people to get behind it, and then it'll just pick up and...
The Americanization and the introduction of the American teams does have its detractors, and it's probably potentially something that we can come back to in regards to homegrown players and their development, and whether or not the American team should be allowed to have those exceptions of having like seven Australians or more, so to speak. So probably something that we'll be able to revisit, but I think between these four walls there's a general consensus that we're open and welcoming to the North Americans. I think mainly from the players' point of view is they'll suggest more money into the game. And you guys aren't going to fight against that, are you? All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from our amateur all-star team of the week. It is Dudley Hill now playing against West Bowling. It'll be a big, massive local derby this coming Saturday. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, come on,
this
Bowling.
Saturday. So we'll be hearing from Dudley Hill, and we'll also be getting the 30 seconds from these boys. But before we do that, let's have a look at the roads.
This is Bradford Bulls Live.
Ethan Ryan's in the corner! That's acrobatic swan dive! He's done it again!
Every try.
And Brandon Pickersgill has the try that will lock the scores up!
All the action.
That was pure theatre from the Bradford Bulls!
Bradford Bulls, live Sundays from 2 with Mick, the game caller Gledel on Pulse 2. Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app, and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Aaron Bauer, Ali Mancella, and Ross Peltier. Let's kick straight into our amateur all-star team of the week. They're going to wax lyrical about their club, and it is none other than Dudley Hill.
The RHP Show Team of the Week.
Well, my name's Stephen Wright, team manager and acting secretary for Bradford Dudley Hill. More than anything, we want to look at getting promotion. We got relegated from Conference League Division 1 last year. Hopefully get back up into Division 1. We're playing West Bowling. It's been 10 years since we've had a sort of a league fixture between us. It's been a long time between games for local bragging rights. We actually won the last game 31-10 at Bankfoot. Obviously, due to their circumstance, they lost the facilities due to cricket being played at Bankfoot, so they had to go into the Pennine League when it all switched to summer. But they found their way back into NCL, and we knew this game was going to happen at some time, and just it's finally upon us, and we can see how we go against them. The club's always looking for more players, volunteers, you know. Sometimes some people think that they might want to get involved, but they can't commit too much time, but any little helps at any club, you know, any volunteer-run club, whether it be us, West Bowling, or any club up and down the country, regardless of level they play at, you know, always accept people into the clubs, but if you just get in touch with club through any social media outlets, we've got a Twitter, which is at all in capitals BDH_RLFC, and we also have a Facebook page as well, which is just Bradford Dudley Hill ARLFC, which anybody can access. If anybody is more looking to get involved in any club in any which shape or form, you know, they can gladly come and help us. We had a few struggles at club which we've got through. Everything's pushing on really, really fast now for us, you know. We didn't think things would move on as quick as they have, but because of the hard work that's gone on behind the scenes, obviously anybody else that wants to come down, bring the kids down, try and get involved with anything on the playing side, you know, no club will ever turn anybody away regardless of ability or what they perceive if they can bring to the table. So hopefully this game, with this potential for it being streamed as well, hopefully if it can get out there and people can see what's going on around the club and see how busy it can be, hopefully it'll be an advert for club for people to come back and get involved.
The RHP Show Team of the Week.
And there you have it, the Amateur All-Star Team of the Week. Bradford Dudley Hill, they're going up against Elliot Mancella's former club, West Bowling. It's going to be a massive, massive local derby, that, eh? 10 years in the making, as I was saying.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game. I think they're expecting quite a big crowd as well, obviously, to watch a West Bowling win, so it's going to be a good day all round.
So is that Dudley Hill?
Yeah, it's at Dudley Hill, yeah, Saturday, 2 o'clock, is it?
So if you're a rugby league fan, you're in Bradford and it's local, why don't you get along to Dudley Hill and support two massive
Clayton and Wyke Cup Final. Ooh. That's going down. I think that's at Oddsall, that one. Clayton and Wyke at Oddsall.
This weekend?
Yeah, Bulls is live streaming on
Saturday.
Their Facebook. Yeah, Bulls are putting it on their Facebook stream.
So you see Clayton. Probably a conflict in interest there.
Clayton dominate as well, so some good rugby in Bradford going on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the second city derby, I think.
The second tier. Alright, just also to reinforce, on Tuesday the 9th of April, Dudley Hill are having a junior recruitment drive, and details will be following on due course on their social media platforms that they just shared. So producer Luke, do you think we can just push out their social media just as a little bit of a thank you? Okay, so follow us here on Pulse2MDL and you'll be able to find out where they are. So if you're actually, that's one of the questions, and we'll get to that in the third segment about children and making sure that your kids get involved with rugby. Because actually, I'm looking at the statistics, and I'm going to start promoting these statistics. To represent your country, it's into the thousands you're more likely to play for England than if you were to play football.
Mm. That's good, that. Good.
So
good
if you're a parent and you have aspirations for your child to represent the country, you want to live your dreams for your children, then statistically, it's more likely that your child will play for England if they play rugby league. Just fact. I'm just pointing out fact. There you go. So statistically, get them involved. You can do that with Dudley Hill on the 9th of April. Okay, 30-second challenge. Ross, you look like you're warmed up. You look like you're powered up. Don't start yet. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Mine is just with everyone being so negative around the sport. You know, it went away a bit when it was round one and everyone were enjoying the product. But now, you know, New York and Ottawa have put their hands up to come in the league. People want to be negative about the game growing again. And it does my head in because, you know, these people aren't really offering no solutions. They're not really trying to do anything. But I think Alex Simmons put it best when he replied to people who do other rugby league shows, saying, what is your plan to actually do anything about it? You can complain about it, but you're not doing nothing about it. And I think all these people who complain about the sport not growing and all this, I think they need to go to their local club and volunteer their time and help it grow and actually do something instead of just moaning.
On that note, I'll say, the fact that we know that they're moaning is that they have a platform. Okay, so you've got a platform. Don't say anything without a solution.
Yeah, exactly, if you've got no solution. Yeah, and I see people talking about, you know,
It's the greatest product.
Yeah, saying, oh, these are doing wrong, this is doing wrong. But
in my
eyes. It is one of the best. But I'm a sports fan and I watch a lot of sport, you know, and we have one of the most exciting sports and it has so much potential and, you know, people are trying to do the best to unlock it.
Come on, Ross, it is our dirty little secret. We're not allowed to tell anyone about it. It's just ours.
That's what people think, but you know,
it is. It's sort of like we keep ourselves to ourselves and we don't want to, you know, push it outside of sport, but we're fantastic at moaning. Absolutely amazing at moaning. But yeah, I'm a big believer in let's get amongst it. Let's get that promotion of it out. Okay, I'm just wary of the time. We normally have to fold over into the final segment for this. Actually, I'll let you sit and get comfortable for not a week off. No one gets a week off on this show. Elliot Minchella, let's come to you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, kick off.
My rant is about these penalties which keep happening in every game where at the play of the ball, when somebody plays the ball on a defender laid in the ruck and the referee gives a penalty straight away, he does have no effect on the play whatsoever. He tries the best to get out of the way of the play of the ball, but the man with the ball intentionally plays the ball on the defender in the ruck and it's an automatic penalty. I just think it shouldn't be in the game. I watched a few NRL games since that season started, and it's happening a lot there where it hits the man in the ruck and they don't blow for a penalty, just let the game flow. I think it's just a bit of a soft penalty and I just don't like it.
It is definitely some gamesmanship going on there.
Yeah, I think it's intentionally being done.
Yeah, so there's that argument between whether or not it's gamesmanship or it's cheating. You know what I'd like, Aaron? I'd like to know what's the general consensus. Because you guys are so influential in the media, you guys take public perception and you promote it, and then rules are changed. What's going on? What do you think the groundswell is going on in the conversation here
with this ruling Elliot's talking about?
Yeah, with that and the other gamesmanship that's going on, but this in particular, because it's one that's sticking
this
with
this is
people.
The one, there's always one every year, isn't there? One rule, one thing that gets
hit.
Yeah. To throwing the ball from dummy half like a dormant marker.
Yeah, that was
I think you'll see it stamped out pretty quickly, sort of eroded. It's ridiculous from my perspective. I think it's a cheat way to get a penalty. I think the word is gamesmanship. It's clearly not cheating because it's within the rules. But you can see the pained reactions of the players, can't you, every time they give these penalties away. It's just... And I think the public are fed up with it as well. You can see it, you can sort of hear it and feel it from the terraces. I think there was one at Cass on Friday night. And you want the rules to be as clear and simple as possible for fans to understand. And I think that just sort of clouds sort of judgment about the whole point of the ruck and where the ruck is. Playing the ball deliberately into a man, for me, is crossing the line. So I think the sooner that gets stamped out, the better.
All right, we've heard it here. Look, if you're watching at home on social media or if you're listening, you want to get in touch, just get in touch via social media and give us your thoughts on that. We're going to go to a break now. When we come back, it's all about you guys. It's all about you guys. So we'll be picking up the questions that you've asked on social media, some of the comments that you made on social media and some of the questions that you've posted in also. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. Live on 1278 and 1530 AM. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross Pelty, Elliot Minchella, and Aaron the Power Bauer. And this segment is all about you guys. So we've been looking at social media. Ethan Ryan, I'm not sure who that young man is, but he thinks what Elliot was going on about is a great way to get a penalty.
Yeah,
and that'll be Ethan Ryan, the Brabham Bulls.
I've just texted him saying that rant was aimed at you.
Yeah, he's a little cat, to be fair.
Yeah, he is. He just needs stamping out of his game, really.
He'd be such a better player if he stopped that.
And a better bloke.
Yeah. No, I don't know about that.
A better human being. You're not right. Ethan, you're just not right. Be a better person, mate. Okay, your guys' questions. Look, here's a great one, and it sort of led on from what we were talking about before. Stephen Wright, a good topic to cover. We're getting more kids into sport. Teams with massive history in football and rugby are folding in Bradford. I think he's not only talking about, he's talking about the amateur clubs.
Yeah.
And amateur club scenes. They need to get them off the consoles, iPads. Problem is, there's a lot of funding at the moment for esports, which the funding, and they're making it themselves. So everyone's going to play a sport that's going to hit you on your endorphin levels, excitement levels, which is what video games did. Mm. We all grew up playing video games as well as getting out there and being active. But it shows what a little bit of funding can do. And we look at the women's rugby, how women's rugby has taken off. Unfortunately, kids and grassroots has been ignored. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Are we becoming more... I think the science says that we are becoming more sedentary lifestyles, that is.
Yeah.
Not moving as much.
I had a conversation about this because, what I understand, right, where I used to live in my old area, is that the money that the RFU what the difference is, I feel, what they pump into the sport. I know our rugby league, we might not have the same amount of cash flow or the same amount of infrastructure, but what they do is any school that has a club within a 5-mile radius, they put a coach in the school, they supply them with a kit and they supply them with posts, and that school has to play rugby union for the next 3 years, all school levels, and they provide the coach to coach all the kids. So they, and when I spoke to the person who did that at my old school when I went back, and he said there's a lot of kids who played rugby league or never played union, and now they're all signed at Bradford and Bingley and they all play at that club near their school, and they all go in the and they all play for the school, and there were a lot of kids who converted from rugby league to rugby union who did that, you know. And
and it's almost because they've got those coaches in there, they're part of that pipeline, they can cherry pick
and they go direct, and and the pathway's there. And all, and also, like, I played rugby union when it was a World Cup year, they sent a representative to the club and they say if you get like under 10s up to 18s all playing every week, then they will give the club money or give the club some funding. And I think you've seen grassroots, I think the RFL's got to help clubs because they're dying, and they've got no support and they need volunteers and they need money.
Well, the thing is though, that they can't help if they don't have the resources there. You just can't make money out of fresh air. There was a lot more money invested into the game, and the argument is a lot of the clubs took the money and they misappropriated it in a certain sense. But it wasn't being spent on the development of the game.
That's why you could have criteria. If you give the money, you have a criteria set. You have to have an age group at this.
But they did that. They did that. It was what they call restricted funding. You have to take X, Y, and Z and hit these benchmarks. And that's why the funding's now gone. It's because those benchmarks weren't hit.
Yeah, I just feel something's broken when, you know, the CEOs or the people who run the game are on more than 90% of the players who play full-time professional, but yet we have no money for grassroots.
I'm not sure that is the case. The grassroots money is still... If you don't have the best people running the sport, you're going to... And I'm not saying that the best people are running the sport.
Yeah.
That's always an argument.
That's just me thinking.
But if there's not enough money in the sport, full stop. You just can't do it. If money was flushed throughout the sport, but there are some examples of actually how it does work.
Mm.
Leeds Rhinos are a great example. Yeah. Bradford Bulls were a great example of where they first
We've started doing it again. I've been to about 3 schools in the past 2 weeks, you know, leading up to a game. I think we get players to go to a school.
How's that different from the previous 2 years you've been there?
We didn't do it before. You do a promo maybe like, I don't know, you do a promo like 3 times in a season, whereas now the full-time players, you have to go to a school, like 5 of us all have to go to a school once a week before every game and give tickets now.
And that's awesome.
We've started that.
We lived in the school.
Yeah, I remember so my work experience. I went with you guys and I went to like loads of schools with like Joe Vanger and all that and all that stuff. So yeah, it was massive back then.
Via Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Just to put a positive spin on it, I know there's a lot of negative reports about young people not playing, but I went last Wednesday, while I went on the show, I went to West Bowling, my local amateur team, with Ethan Ryan, actually. And we went down and they had all the
grub.
Yeah, the cat, Ethan Ryan. We went down and they had all the age groups training at once. It was so we're classed as their ambassadors from the Bulls because we come out of their amateur team.
Yep.
And they had a Nippers team, which is like under 6s, under 7s, under 8s, all the way up. I think it went to under 15s. And the amount of kids that were there then on a Wednesday night were outstanding, I thought. It's not good how it's maybe not in schools, but there's still appetite for kids who... So I imagine these kids will probably go home and go play on their Xbox, but for that hour they were out there. Running about.
Well, we're not stopping them from doing that, but we're talking about encouraging them as well as...
I think it's... Mm. There is still a healthy appetite for rugby league.
Is it is it the schools, is it the parents that we need to educate? You know, it can be lazy parenting, or not even lazy. Lazy is probably the bad word. It's having the amount of time. Our time seems to be getting cut down and cut down more and more and more to be able to parent our children in the way that we were brought up. We didn't have all the tools that they've got now, the distraction tools, but we used to be outside a lot more.
Yeah, I think that could be a thing because, you know, West Bowling is an example. They've got age groups all the way through. What I found when I go to schools, and sometimes kids are worried about being hurt or getting hurt, or it's a bit, you know, But I thought back in the day I used to smash myself on my bike about 100 times.
That's just
that's how times have changed, though. Yeah. I think it's just it's not something that rugby league has changed on society. I think it's just how people. It's just changed
and
in general.
And to be honest, rugby it hurts. You can get you can play football and not get hit.
Yeah.
You know, you can do a load of other sports and not get hit, but rugby is a collision sport.
Yeah.
There is without the collision, there is no sport of rugby, and I think that potentially becomes a problem. All right, Bobby Bruff, he asked the question: if you didn't play rugby, what would you do, or would you play another sport? What other sport? Let's go. I think we've had the question about what other line of work we'd do, because I think if I remember correctly, Elliot, you said you'd be an accountant because you were doing it at the time. But if there was another sport to play.
I would be a footballer. I was a very talented footballer. I still am a very talented footballer. But yeah, I'd have been a footballer.
You'd be playing for the Bradford Bulls football team that beat Pulse Radio's football team.
Oh, listen, I would.
I think out of the three games they played, Bradford Bulls have beaten them twice.
On five a side, I am untouchable. I'll put that out to anybody out there. No one can play my
like
five
a
side.
Like a force of nature. I see as an avalanche coming through.
And you know what it is? I was always this big as a kid. I used to play up front, and literally, they all used to call me Young Emileski because, you know, I used to bring it down on my chest, spin a few people. And I'd slot it away. So, yeah, I'd be a footballer. I always wanted to be a footballer. I got banned for fighting for, like, 3 months from football for, like, 4 fights in a season. So then my dad said, why don't you play rugby? He said, why don't you play rugby? And then after my first game, I signed at Bradford, and then the rest is history. So it's lucky I fell in rugby. I wanted to be a footballer.
I think Stuart Fielding had the same problem. He wasn't didn't play rugby until he was 15.
Yeah, I was 13 when I first started playing rugby.
Fighting
12,
too 30. Much with his brother Jim.
Yeah.
What about you, Elliot? What sport would you like to play if you weren't a professional rugby player?
Well, I'm interested in football, but I'm not good. But probably some sort of athletic, you know, something like. I'd like to appear in Olympic Games. I love the Olympics. I don't know what sport, like. But bow and arrow or something.
He's got a good engine on him. You've done 400
meters.
Yeah,
some
sort of track event. Not a speed.
It wouldn't be Robin Hood.
Not a speed track event, but something like that.
On a bike.
Cycling. I like cycling, yeah.
I'd take a shot, but mate.
When you just love to compete in Olympic Games, how good would that be?
Yorkshire's developed a load of cyclists, and you know, like in the velodromes.
Yeah,
but there's no velodrome in Yorkshire.
No.
But it could be because of the hills.
I think it's grassroots. They've got it nailed on, haven't they?
All right, over to Aaron. Aaron, if you had your pick of professional sports to choose from, which would you like to be?
10,000 meters. Professional runner, yeah.
Mo Farah.
10K.
Young Steve Cram.
Have you practiced? What would the Bowers like?
It's just stupid, isn't it? Wouldn't be anything, would it? Did you have a little celebration when you played?
You know what? There was one time I scored this try in Paris.
They should have played Ain't No Stopping Us Now by Robbie and Henry Paul every time. A legendary song.
Do you know, there's still a copy of that odd cell. I've been meaning to take it. Listen to it.
The one time I scored a try, we were losing the game in Paris. And I don't know why, but it came into me. You know the old Bruce Lee thing where they go, whoa? And I went to do that. Realised what I was doing and pulled out halfway through, so I looked even stupider. Yeah. I just sort of like, and oh, I got handed for it from
what
the
what would that one Les used to do with it?
He did that every game.
Yeah, what that one?
Well, that was so he could, he's just thanking the Lord.
Oh.
He's Christian, isn't he?
Oh.
Don't make fun of that.
I never knew what it was.
All right, I'm just getting waved at by the producer. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be looking at the upcoming games for the weekend. Thank you very much for all your input, ladies and gentlemen. Before we do that, let's have a fine look at the roads.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Elliot Minchella, Ross Peltier and Aaron Bauer. This is the final segment of the show. Thank you for being with us so far. Guys, let's just, before we get on to Aaron's 30-second rant, or wax lyrical, let's just have a look at the leaderboard at the moment. So we pick 5 games and we'll get to these games let's do Aaron's run now. Let's get that done and then we'll stay with the games and upcoming games this weekend. So producer, Luke, are we ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go.
Sean Edwards again. Bad this, awesome. Isn't it? Still dragging out.
The saga.
Not good for rugby league, this. I know, on a serious note, again, you know, Wigan made a statement on Friday saying that they're going to let him have as much time as he wants to consider his options. But this is a guy who was pictured in the stadium at Wigan, holding the scarf up, agreed to come as coach, and unfortunately it's pretty clear now that he's just toying with Wigan, toying with rugby league. And I think the biggest surprise is that a club of Wigan's stature, a club as well-run as Wigan, haven't sort of put a pin in this by now and just basically said to him, we're not bothered anymore, we're not interested, just don't come. If this was Wayne Bennett or Craig Bellamy, fair enough, but Sean Edwards hasn't been involved with rugby league for 20 years now. He's got a massive coaching pedigree in Union, it's fine, but Adrian Lamb is there now. You know, he must be wondering what the heck's going on. He thought he was only here for a year. Now it looks like he might get to stay. The players, you know, you can't tell me it's not impacting on the players. And I just think Wigan have got to get on the front foot with this now and be proactive and really sort of, like I say, put a pin in the whole situation, lay it to bed, because Edwards clearly doesn't want to come. Otherwise, he would have said straight from the start, I'm not interested in any other job in Union. I want to come to league.
Don't you think he would have gone, here's my contract.
Yeah.
Give me the contract.
You don't need to be a genius to work out that he's been made aware there's some significantly more lucrative roles available in rugby union. You know, he's clear, and good luck to the guy.
Especially this year with
good luck
World
to the guy. He's a great coach. You know, he's well thought of in rugby union. So if there is a job with England or with Wasps or whatever, good luck to him. But don't use Wigan and rugby league as a bit of a bargaining chip.
For Wigan, though, and like you're saying, shouldn't Wigan just put a pin in it? For Wigan, though, it's a great distraction from what's going on the field. I'm not saying they're doing that on purpose. No. I'm just saying it could be a distraction from what's going on the field equally. You know, especially when we're talking about, I think last week we pointed out, well, if Adrian Land's only going to be there, is his heart really in it? If he's only going to be there for a year, is his heart really in it? I think it's a little bit of that, what I was saying before, with the Bradford Bulls, their investment in the Cup. Yorkshire Cup, and I think that has had its impact. Similarly, I've experienced that. Played 2002 World Club. On the back of that, we hit Newcastle Knights like a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. Blew them off the park, won that game. Following week, we get Leeds in the Cup. We just unluckily drew Leeds in the Cup, and they spanked us. Mm-hmm. Spanked us down at Valley Parade. The first time, you know, the first time we lost a game at Valley Parade when we were down there. Sometimes you invest too much energy in certain things, and I think that may be part and parcel of why Wigan haven't been performing. So anyway, let's get on. Great point. I think we're not going to hear the last of it, even though Aaron's pointing out that we should hear the last of it. But let's get on to the games. So just at this point in time, our own personal league table, we've got myself on 22 points. Leading the way is the Reggae Warrior. He was steaming ahead.
I'm clinging
but
on.
But he's been pulled back. He's at 23 points.
Yeah.
Elliot Mancello. Actually, we'll go on to Aaron Bauer. Aaron's on 21 points. But Elliot Mancello is the person that's impressed over the last couple of weeks, firing on all cylinders, coming back into recognition. And he's on 20 points. So you were really adrift, I think, by about 6 or 7 points off Ross at one point.
No, he starts, I finish, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. So there's a 4-point spread on it. You're on 20 points, and Ross is on 23 points, and me and Aaron are holding up the middle. The guts. We're the guts. Oh, but there's nothing in it for all of us, so we've got everything to play for this weekend, and this is a really good weekend this weekend with the games coming up. Some really tight picks. We've got Hull FC, who have been performing really well up there in the top five. They're playing the host to Warrington Wolves on Friday night.
Warren, they're looking good right now. So yeah, I'm going the Wolves.
Nothing to do with no home advantage.
No, I don't think it plays into it. I think Warrington will get the job done.
Is it Sevilla could be ready for his first run out this weekend? Andre Sevilla, so back from the Brisbane Broncos, it was Brisbane there.
Yeah, I'm going to say Warrington as well. I think they'll beat Hull.
Yeah, saw them last week at Wakefield. They, you know, for the first hour, they were pretty good, looking pretty good nick. So, yeah, I'll say a Warrington. It's going to be tough. Hull go well at home, and they've gone well recently. But Warrington win.
My mate Lee Radford, he's celebrating his 40th birthday today, I think it is, or this week. I'm going to back Hull FC. Mm. I'm going to
Yeah, too many motions in the picks. You got to take a motion out of the picks. You got to look at the form.
Yeah, stop going with your mates. Stop going with your mates, Robbie. Oh, my mistake.
No, I'm going to back Hull FC. I think they've been travelling well enough. They've been nowhere near their best, but they're getting into some good groove. I think home advantage.
I've seen the games. He can predict what Robbie's going to say for the last four games here. Mm. Played for three of them. One of his best mates coaches the other. So we'll just shout yours out. Next game.
Okay. Well, we're gonna start with me. London versus Huddersfield. So
Robbie's
back
in Huddersfield.
Obviously.
I'm back in Huddersfield. Yeah, you got me.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm gonna put a risky one out there. It's all about, you know, I'm gonna think London could do a job. I know they did well against Hull KR, but, you know, going down to London on that 4G, I'm saying London might do it. Yeah, I'm going London today. That's my risky one for the day.
Yeah, London. London for me.
Yeah, that's one of your old clubs.
Look at the league table. Don't lie, Robbie. London. Come on.
So you still think Leeds and Wigan are going to be there?
Yeah.
They're at the bottom.
Why? It's only March.
I hope Leeds go down.
But that's what I mean. The league table doesn't lie.
London, I'm saying... they've only been well beaten at home once, and that was Castleford, who did a real number on them. They've took a couple of big scalps already. I'm saying London on that 4G pitch. Nice weather, good fast track. Yes. Yeah, London.
Kieran Dixon to get two.
Go on the Bronx.
Full length.
Okay, so this could be a really good round for me or a really bad one.
Yes.
Okay, next up we've got Wakefield at home to Salford.
Robbie's back in Salford.
Yeah, I'm going off the back of what I saw at Warrington. I'm going to say Wakey off the back of the Warrington. You know, they pushed them close. Salford, it's a tough one.
I think there's like Wakey. 2 points in this game, mate. I'm going to say Wakefield. They lost by two, didn't they, against Warrington. I think they'll get this one.
And
Wakefield,
at home.
Yeah, Wakefield will win.
I'm going to take Salford, I think. Salford. They normally bounce back well and they were massively below the standards they've been setting this year last week.
Against Wigan, right?
I think Salford, but I agree with Minnie, is probably only a score either way.
I'm back in Wakefield.
Yeah,
as much as it hurts, I'm going to back Wakefield. I like Wakefield on their home turf, so that's why I'm going to back them. So we now look down into the lower divisions, and it's a Coral Challenge Cup weekend coming up for the lower divisions in the fourth round of the Cup. So first up, happened last weekend. There was nothing in the game. Workington versus Newcastle, nothing in the game. 32 points to 30. Leon's boys up at Workington took it out. So what are your thoughts on this one?
I think
week two.
I think they're going to do it again because that pitch... it's a horrible place to go. Yeah. The pitch is like a postage stamp. Yes. And, you know, going there, playing them, me and Minnie know from last year, it's not a nice experience. So I'm going to say they'll edge it again. They've got the psychological advantage and do them again.
I say Newcastle. I think they'll know where they've gone wrong. I didn't see the game, but if it's anything like what we did, probably got sucked into playing, out working and wanting to play, and I don't think they'll do it 2 weeks in a row. No. Newcastle win.
Yeah, Newcastle for me as well. I think you very rarely see two sort of repeat outcomes, and agree with Minnie, they'll go up there, fix what they did wrong. So yeah, Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm going to back Newcastle as well. I give it to Leon last week, but there was nothing in the game, so I'm going to back Newcastle. Look, we're down into the last minute. Quick one, Sheffield versus Lee.
Nailed on. I'm going to go Eagles.
Yeah, nailed on. Sheffield Eagles, easy win. Up the Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles for me as well, going well at the top. No reason why that won't carry on. Robbie used to play for Lee, don't forget.
All right, now I'm going to back Lee. Once a late always a late Thursday, say. It's equal. You're on one side of the fence.
Yeah,
on the other
look at the league
side
table.
Of the
look
fence.
At the league table.
No, I get
Eagles
that.
Are
I get that, but they're going to come back. We'll see if they come back. Anyway, that's us for the end of the show. My thank you to the boys being here this evening. As always, my thank you to you listening at home. We love you. We'll be back this time next week on Wednesday. Love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.